The storms last night to things with police, things with parking, and things with just about everything in between. First of all, Mike Bailey, welcome aboard.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great as always. And of course, we've got our other folks in here today. We've got Keith, we got Tracy, we got Mike, we got everybody in here today.
We got a booth full for you.
All right, that sounds good. Let's go on here. What do we got to start off things with? Looks like the firefighters are all equipped and ready to go.
Yeah, we did have an announcement to make there. The fire department was granted a grant by Phillips 66 Company, and it provided for new handheld radios for all the firefighters. Mm-hmm. The radios that we were using had been bought over a period of time, and didn't all match up, so now being able to purchase all these at the same time, all the technology will match, so that was pretty important to us. Phillips 66 has been a fantastic partner. They have provided grants for radios for the fire department. Several years ago, they provided us with a grant that actually allowed us to create some mobile repeater stations using our fire trucks so that we got better reception inside mm-hmm. of these large buildings. I know that they have provided some grants for safety equipment for the police department, so we're as always very grateful to them and very thankful, and we were very excited to do this. I believe that some of the Phillips 66 people came out on Friday and took a tour of the station and actually got to see the handhelds in action. So.
Oh, well, there you go. So this is everybody singing from the same sheet of music, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
That means safety. That means
that's that right.
People are going to go home at the end of the day.
That's right. It was important to us, mm-hmm. and we're very grateful.
Now, we had a downtown survey on parking, and I know that, you know, this is one of those unintended consequences of having a downtown that's so vibrant with so many places to shop, so many places to you grab a bite to eat.
You're right.
You know, so it's like, okay, where am I going to park now?
we've had this conversation before that the only thing worse than having a downtown parking problem is not having a downtown parking problem. It's sort of inherent in the system when you have public parking that's shared. That there will be friction. So, and I've got Micah Seamers here. He's actually mm-hmm. He's kind of heading up this study with the Street and Traffic Committee. And Micah, when was the last time? We've studied this a number of times, but when was our last one? Was that 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I want to say it was somewhere in that 2004 range.
And we discovered at that time the complexity of the problem and the fact that there isn't a lot of agreement between customers and residents and business owners and property owners. And
right.
So we, at that point in time, I think they decided to leave the system in place.
They did.
And deal with it on an as-needed basis. So that was really the last time we looked at this. Now Micah and the Street and Traffic Committee have really been, they've spent several months sort of talking about and studying the problem.
We have, yeah. Yeah, we've been trying to plan this out now since last fall, I guess, is really when this kind of came up from the chamber, if you will.
Yep, we had, you and me and Lisa Beeman and maybe Terry Lortz and all attended
Terry's involved as well.
A forum that the chamber put together to meet primarily with, I think, business owners at that time.
It was. At that point, it was really business owners and property owners in the downtown area, so it was really kind of a focused group. It wasn't the broad, entire city of Bartlesville mm-hmm. Feedback, so we're looking to broaden that scope, if you will.
So we really do want people to participate in this. It's important for us to be able to define the problem, and we can't do that without input. So they've launched this survey. Probably the easiest way to get to the survey is just to go to cityofbartlesville.org, mm-hmm. And there will be a link to it. It's on SurveyMonkey. It'd take maybe 5 minutes of your time to fill it out.
It's real quick. I think we've got 16 questions, something like that. So it's pretty quick. Try to keep it to the point.
Keep it focused and to the point.
I don't want you to lose focus.
So anyway, anybody that has any interest in downtown parking, we would strongly encourage them to go out and take that. And it will certainly help us to resolve the issues. Like I said, until we can define the problem, we really can't solve it.
Very good. Now, Keith, I understand that you've been busy taking storm cleanup to mosquito spraying. Do you get any rest?
We have. It's actually a surprise for us last night. I don't think anybody was really expecting what we got.
Not quite like that.
Including myself, when I came into town this morning, lots of storm damage around town. I'd say it's spread all over town. Looked to me a little bit heavier on the southeast and west sides of town. Mm-hmm. But I have seen damage pretty much everywhere in town. Noting that, we would like to announce, Mike and I have talked, and Mike's going to open up the rodeo grounds west of Bartlesville, the city property. Most people are familiar with it if they've had limb debris in the past when we've opened that site up for disposal. Now, again, this is going to be just for storm debris, tree-type material, limbs, brush, no lumber, no boards, no trash, strictly tree debris from this storm. So if you've got limbs down in your yard, you're a private resident, property owner, and you need somewhere to take that debris, it'll be open starting now, run through Saturday at 4 o'clock. So every day from 7 to 4, starting now through Saturday. And again, this is just for the private homeowner. If you're a commercial tree trimmer and you're hiring out for help, we're not taking your debris. You should have somewhere you can take yours because you're a commercial customer. But again, if you're a homeowner, you've got some limbs in your yard and you need somewhere to take them, we are opening that site up for the public to use.
Now Keith, so if someone had a limb that demolished an outbuilding or, say, a chicken coop, then we're not accepting those things. We would accept the limb, but not the remnants of the building.
Not the chicken coop.
Chicken coop. No. So no on the chicken coop. Even if somebody referred to it as sticks, right?
That's correct. And the reason for that is we're really strictly regulated what we can take through the DEQ, Oklahoma Department of Quality Control, and they're very, very strict about, you know, the type of materials we can have. We are not a landfill, so we have to dispose of that stuff properly, and that we will burn it, and there's some regulations that go along with that to dispose of it. So that's the main reason we don't do it. So anything you've got that's actually refuse and trash, you would have to take that yourself or put it in your refuge. You know, if you've got your cart at home and you can get it in there and the lid'll shut, you can put that material in there and it'll be picked up by your regular trash collection and go to the Osage landfill. Or if you need to take it there yourself, you could obviously drive it out to the Osage landfill. And again, there'd be a fee with that because the Osage landfill is privately owned. The city of Bartlesville does not own that. We contract with those people out there and pay a fee just like, you know, the citizens are paying a fee. So if you've got your own material, you can take it out there. But the tree material can go to the Osage, to the out by the Bartlesville Roundup Club. It's Highway 60 West, right next door to the Bartlesville Roundup Club. And again, most people have been out there in the past, so they're familiar with it. We will have a gate up there, and again, we'll lock it up every day at 4 o'clock just so we can kind of keep control and make sure trash and things aren't coming in out there.
Now, okay, very good.
Now, Keith, we've got the chief here, and we have had a problem with illegal dumping out there, and we kind of chuckle about it. And specifically, the chicken coop I'm referencing was Micah Seamers and I were out there to look at the amount of storm debris after one of our recent storms, and a guy followed us in a little pickup truck, and we spun around and asked him if we could help him, and he asked us if that's where he was supposed to dispose of these sticks, and we looked in the bed of his pickup truck, and it was a chicken coop. So, so we told him where he should actually take those. But that will be manned. We'll have employees in and out of there. If we catch somebody illegally dumping, and we've got the chief of police here, and I'm going to put him on the spot, that's city property, and it is illegally dumping. So, Chief, what would be our recourse as a city?
Right. We would contact the person, issue them a citation, and then they would go through the city court process to deal with that citation.
So we just want to make sure that everybody knows that this is just for storm debris, and we might not catch you if you're dumping, but if we do, then you'll be written a citation. So,
and again, if you have small limbs in our present trash collection system, we do offer a means to dispose of that, and it would not be free. Most people are familiar with the green waste sticker. Yep. So if you've got just some small limbs and you want to bundle those up 4 foot in length, no more than 50 pounds, wrap some twine or something around it, create a bundle, put one of the green stickers on there, and the guys will pick that up on a normal trash day.
And they can get the green stickers at Quick Trip or at City Hall.
Yes, sir.
Any other place or just those two?
That's just the two locations.
Just those two. So yep. Pretty convenient that you can get those at either of those locations.
Are you limited to just one bundle per pickup?
On the green stickers, you can put out as many as you want, as long as each bundle's got a sticker attached to it.
Yep. And they meet the dimensions.
Yep, meet the 4 foot and no more than 50 pounds.
Got it.
And it doesn't matter who you are, even if you're the city manager, if you put out the wrong size, they don't take them.
They'll leave it laying there. And that material can go in your cart also. So, yep. I mean, again, if you can get it in your cart and get the lid shut the way it's supposed to be, mm-hmm. it'll be collected that way also.
Great.
We mentioned mosquito spraying. We've been out spraying mosquitoes for the last, couple months. There again, that's a closely regulated process through the state. And Bobby Robinson, our park supervisor, kind of oversees that process. We currently run one truck. We have a couple, depending on the conditions. We can, if we have worsening conditions, we could add another crew to it. We typically now just run the one truck. We run it every night when conditions permit. Again, there's strict regulations. The most bearing thing is wind speeds. And the state regulates it. If the wind speed's over 10 miles an hour, you're legally not supposed to be out spraying. So that's probably one thing that hampers us the most of the process. And then, of course, this year rains have even been an issue. Obviously, we don't spray when it rains. And the prime time really to spray is in the evenings when the mosquitoes are more active. So we try to spray between 4 or 5 o'clock into 10, 11 o'clock. We have 10 areas in town that we're divided into. Typically, our spray officer can get two areas a night. So conditions are right and everything's going good. He can spray the whole town in 1 week. And then repeat that process the following week again. But with conditions the way they are, you know, we've had wind speeds the last few days up to 15, 20 miles an hour. We're not out spraying. There's things that the public can do to help eliminate problems. You know, of course, you've heard the standing water, all those type issues that you'd have that you could help yourself by eliminating standing water. You keep your grass cut down, different things like that that you can do yourself. But we are out spraying, and we do have a process. We do take call-ins if people want to report. We do have a hotline number, and forgive me, I don't have that in front of me, but you can find it on our website, and you can call and report. And we will do special spraying, but in general, we just do routine because, again, we have a process, and it doesn't really suit the needs of people for us to jump around and just spray the hot spots where somebody might be calling in. So, again, we try to follow our normal routine, divide it up into areas, and things go well. Once a week, the mosquito truck should be down your street and hopefully get rid of those pesky little critters.
There you go.
And Keith, those the sprayers, they just spray down the streets and down the alleys. Obviously, we stay on the public ways.
That's correct.
But the sprayer has a reach of about 150 feet on either side of it. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
So it, I know we've had some people that were concerned that we spray the street, and I even saw a comment that, oh, great, well, the streets are free of mosquitoes. Well, it does much more than that. I mean, these are essentially a fogger that disperses that over a bigger area. But as Keith said, if you're in your backyard or if you're a ways away from the street, there's some things you might need to do to mitigate your own. Now, if you do have a large body of standing water that you can't drain, you can do what we do. And there's, I believe, at Atwood's or probably at Lowe's, there's some little tablets that you can throw in there that's a mosquiticide, and it gets rid of the larvae.
Yep.
So the only thing that we actually, that our sprayer takes care of is the flying mosquitoes. It won't do anything for the larvae or for the eggs.
Right. And so, if it's standing water, if you've got moving water, typically you won't have a problem. It's the standing water. You know, you got a trash can lid laying in your yard, it's upside down. We've had this little rain last night, and it stands there full of rain. You've got a place that's going to be breeding mosquitoes. So if you can eliminate a lot of those issues, you're going to help yourself.
Very good.
Well, Keith, you have anything else for us?
I think that wraps us up. I just, you know, tell the public we're out doing our mowing. We're doing some street work. You may have seen my street department crew, Lance Brown and his guys, have been out doing some overlays. Hillcrest Boulevard, you may have noticed. We've had some problems out there. For the last year, I'd noticed the shoulder was falling off again, and that project is scheduled for rehab out there in the next couple of years, but we didn't feel like it could make it another year or two in the condition it was in. So you may notice, well, why'd they just do part of the road? Well, the reason we just did part of the road is we're trying to be conservative with our tax dollars as we can, trying to get the road where it'll hold up for another year. Micah's got a project designed out there. He's going to get a brand new road out there. So we didn't want to go out there and put an inch and a half overlay on something that's only going to be there a year. We've done some residential streets in town, and with the weather slowed us down, we've still got some funds that we're looking to spend here in the next week or two for a few other paving projects. Believe it or not, school will be approaching very fastly, August. So look out for our crews out there on the street. We'll be doing some street striping. We'll start in the school zones and restriping school zones, crosswalks, things like that. So just keep an eye out for our crews out there as they're working along the roadway.
Well, appreciate it, Keith. Thank you. And Tom, we've also got the chief police here with us today, Chief Tracy Rolls. And there's been quite a bit going on down at the police department. You guys were heavily featured in the city beat, and I know you've got a lot of things going on, but I think that probably what's on most people's mind when it comes to the police department is the crime rate, and I think there's a little bit of a perception that the crime has been increasing, and so the chief's here today to visit a little bit about that. I mean, is it, chief, is it up, is it down, or are we seeing it right? How is it looking?
Well, over the last 3 years, the crime rate has gone up at a steady pace. First quarter 19 versus first quarter 18, it's flat. So, you know, we've had a lot of high profile things that have happened recently, and that's really made people think, oh my goodness, the crime rate is
think that drives going through perception. The perception. You're
right. Right. And some of the locations that some of these crimes are happening are interesting locations.
Sure.
And it really brings a lot of attention to people and what's the crime rate doing. The crime rate is really the first quarter of this of 19 versus 18 has done nothing different. Over the last 3 years, it's obvious that the crime rate has increasingly gone up. But the recent events have not pushed the crime rate to a level that we've not seen before. Like I said, we're flat for the first quarter of 19. But there are some things that we should do better. We, not just the police department, but we, the community. If you see some activity in your neighborhood that is different, that is odd, you should call and let our officers come and take a look and see if anything criminal is going on. And maybe we could keep some of the high-profile stuff from happening if we're more involved with calling the police when we see things. No, it's not a bother for people to call right. and report things, even if they're unfounded. We would rather go and look at something and make sure that and find that nothing's going on, as opposed to somebody not calling, something happening, and then them saying, well, I wish I would have called. Yeah. So if you see something, call.
And there'd been a couple of houses that had been sort of repeat areas recently. And those are really what you're referring to, is that the neighbors probably noticed that there was an issue long before it actually surfaced. And if they'll report it to us and at least give us a chance to check it out, then some of this stuff we can prevent. Some of these things we can help to correct in advance. But we really do need their help. We need the help of the people in the neighborhoods. You know, they're there 7 days a week. We might drive through it a couple times a day.
Sure. Absolutely. That is absolutely correct.
So I appreciate that, and I know that you're definitely working to get the word out and hoping to reverse that trend. Now, when you first got here, one of the first things that we talked about was assuring that we were applying all of our resources in the best manner possible. And you've made some changes to the police department. You had a different vision when you came in here than how it was set up, and I know you've made a lot of changes, frankly. You've been here since October, is that right?
Correct.
October, yeah. So there's been a lot of things, a lot of positive things that have happened since October. And right now you're actually in the process of promoting a deputy chief. I think today may be the final step in that process where you and I meet with the finalists. So anything to add on that?
Yeah, we're very excited. You referenced to the conversation that you and I had, and that was even before I started.
It was. We
talked about some reorganization of the department to better serve our, not just the community, but to better serve the department, and so that we're being the most efficient that we can, and so that then, of course, so we can be more effective. The deputy chief process has been somewhat lengthy.
It's been a good process, though.
They were very, the candidates were exposed to a very uncomfortable situation last week when there were 7 police chiefs from across the state sitting on an interview panel and
asking
questions.
I went and talked to the chiefs first thing that morning. Yeah. They made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was.
I wasn't even there for the job.
I was a little uncomfortable myself because I felt like I was getting interviewed between everyone. But a good process, and you're correct. You and I will visit with the 2 finalists today, and hopefully we'll make a good decision going forward. I think either of the 2 candidates that we decide on will be an excellent deputy chief and will really serve the community and the department well. And with the deputy chief appointment, it will be like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
More people will have opportunities to be in leadership positions, which is always good when we can empower our people to be better leaders.
Well, and I think that is critical in the event that, you're about to take a vacation. So when you're on vacation, we need to have that unquestioned line of sure. authority in a police department. So I like the things that are happening in the police department. It's been a lot of positive changes that I've seen since you arrived in October, and I think we're heading in the right direction. One of the interesting things is the reserve. I think when you arrived, we had about 10 to 13 reserves, something of that nature. 13 reserves at the time. You did make some changes to how the reserves were going to report and how they were going to operate. That reduced the number of reserves down to about 3, as some of the old guard left and didn't want to be reserves anymore. And so I think we got back down to three. I see that you just had a swearing in of actually a pretty good number of reserves. So how many are we up to now?
So we're at 11 now, and we're very excited about that program. You know, the reserve program, I can't say enough about anybody that volunteers to do what the reserves do.
I'm with you.
It's hard to find police officers that we can pay to be a police officer, much less find a reserve who will do it for free.
For free.
So I'm very thankful for anybody who volunteers with the city, and especially as a reserve at the police department. We have 11 total now. We have a reserve academy starting, I think, in a month or two. That'll be very intensive for those guys. A couple of them were already certified reserve, so their impact is felt immediately. But we're very excited about the new direction of the reserve program and getting those people involved on day-to-day patrol-type activities, not just events within the city, but being out there supporting our police officers on patrol and on their day-to-day functions.
Well, they seem to be reinvigorated. Those that chose to stay and the new guys all seem to be very excited about it. And you made a good point that they become an integral part of our department. They ride along with your guys. They provide backup. But even on top of that, then they get involved in community events. So that a lot of times when somebody sees a police officer at a parade or at Sunfest, that's not always a police officer. Sometimes that is a reserve police officer who's frankly out there volunteering their time. So we're very grateful to them. We would not have the staff to do all of the things that we're able to do because of those reserves. So again, very, very grateful for them, no doubt about it. All right, Chief, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right. Well, Tom, looks like we're on to our final guest here with Micah Seamers. He being last in this
race here.
being last in this program is always a little iffy. Sometimes they don't even get to talk. So he wasn't really sure. Well, I put him last on the list.
I kept looking at that clock thinking maybe I'd dodge this one again. It didn't happen.
Once again, you failed. You're here, Micah Seamers.
Oh, man. Awesome.
So, well, Micah, we were talking earlier about storms. And during the flood, mm-hmm. One of the things that had happened was we'd had a pretty significant washout, and you and Keith can both address this, but there was a pretty significant washout in the area of, I refer to it as Blazer Field. It's
correct.
Now Oklahoma Wesleyan
sure.
Field, so it's just south of the Tuxedo Bridge that goes over the Caney River, right?
Correct, yep, right there across from Bartlesville Ready Mix.
So, yeah, just to the mm-hmm. south of the Bartlesville Ready Mix, right?
Right.
So the talk to us about the condition of that and what the plans are. And like I said, either you or Keith, whoever's best suited to talk about it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we have had a washout there. It's similar to what we've had in the past, actually just to the north, I guess, just upstream of that.
The
other
one
side
that is
the
right across from Ready Mix. Yeah.
And similar type deal, basically, you know, you get that water flowing through there, ground saturated, and have a tree slough off in there. And then next thing you know, you have an eddy there that just sits there and washes out. So that's kind of what we've got going on there, and really, so right now the trail is shut down through there right now, and until the river goes down, there's not a whole lot we can do in there, unfortunately, because we're just basically gonna have to rebuild that bank through there.
Right,
is what's gonna have to happen. So, again, we'll get plans put together to do that, be ready to hit the ground running when the water does go down, but you know, Copan Lake and Gila Lake are still high. I haven't checked actually today, but I know I checked last week, and I think for Kelly's newsletter that went out,
right.
City Beat that went out, the lakes were still way up, so they're going to be releasing water for the foreseeable future.
And we got rain again last night.
We got rain again last
affected
night.
Both of those lakes.
Yeah, so really, it's going to be we're starting over almost every time it rains. So,
so anybody who's jogging through there, is there a way to avoid that area? I mean, can they go up the hill and get around it, or is it?
Not really. I went the other day down there and took a look at it. Was considering opening it up and took a look at it. There's some driftwood and things on the trail, but it's so bad eroded that it's not safe to pass through there. Some of the public looks to be going around the outside, up the side of the bank towards the west. I mean, foot traffic can do that.
Yeah.
It's not a made trail, but there really is not a good way to detour past that.
We really would just advise everyone to avoid that area at this point in
Absolutely.
Time. We're working to get it open. We understand the frustration. That's the Pathfinder is one of the most popular attractions in Bartlesville, and it's well used, and we're glad that it is. But we want everybody to be safe, and so really the best thing to do there is turn around and go back the way that you came.
And we do receive frequent calls, you know, that since this has all been happening this spring and into the summer, you know, we've had so much rain that we've had trees and other things come down on the trail. Some of the public may notice we've went down and opened the trail up, but we haven't actually removed those trees and debris as far as from the trail area itself, but we have got the trail back open where it's usable.
Right.
This fall, this winter, we'll go in there and do more work, more extensive work. We've actually been down into the Johnstone Park and some of the areas and cleaned the mud and the silt and tried to get everything passable. But again, we're very aware that we're not done. Some of the exercise equipment and things in Johnstone Park, the mulch and things were washed out. We've tried to make them usable. But again, we're aware that they're not where they need to be in this fall when we can get kind of caught up with mowing and weed eating and all the other things that we try to keep up with. We will go back in there and do more extensive work on those areas.
So we've, during this time of year, your guys are hooked up pretty much all the time.
We are.
Just trying to keep up with mowing.
I was talking again with Bob, our park supervisor, this morning, and we were looking at which direction to go this morning after the storm debris, and we, you know, said, no, let's go mow. So we try to, you know, I'm like mowing weed every day.
Mow.
That's what I want to do.
But
we've got trees down everywhere, so we work with Lance in the street, helps us out a lot with his guys, and we'll make an effort. Cemetery, for example, we're working over there this morning. We had massive destruction over there with trees. We probably got a dozen trees down there in the cemetery. So
wow.
We will get to all those things, but there's just a lot of it out there right now.
Okay. Well, that's we'd ask the public to be patient with us. We are working as quickly as we can, but that one's going to take a little while to resolve.
It's going to take some time. That's a pretty big project, really. I mean,
it's going to take a large
excavator that we don't have, so we'll have to contract that work out.
That's right. So this probably won't be one that we'll handle.
We
will most likely contract that out with somebody.
Yes, sir.
So, but we will get it open, we promise. Micah, how about projects? What do we got going on? You got about 3.5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hit the highlights here then. Really, one of the biggest things we've got coming up, and people have probably seen some activity there, is on our Harvard Sanitary Sewer Project. We've got a phase two. We've done phase one, which is basically there at Madison Boulevard on Harvard, essentially west of that. We've already completed that work in backyards. So most people aren't seeing that work. Phase two is going to be on the east side of Madison. You'll go up to Arbor. And again, it'll be in the backside of the properties. However, right there at that crossing, we were planning on doing some non-destructive work there. We're going to do some pipe bursting, is what they call it, where you basically go in, you pull a larger pipe through an existing pipe, it breaks it apart and slides through there. But we can't do that because of some utility conflicts. They're too close. Based on going with the larger pipe through there, it will expand that. It pushes the soil. And we could possibly damage a water line through there, some electric, fiber, things of that nature. So it's going to have to be open cut. So when that project starts, probably here in the next 2-3 weeks, likely that will be cut there down to one lane in each direction.
And which road is that?
This is Madison Boulevard, and it's right there just south of Harvard. So so keep your eyes and ears open for that. That will be necked down to one direction. The contractor actually wants to shut it down completely. And I said, man, I just said, we can't shut down Madison.
As usual, we negotiate back to at least keeping a lane open.
Just can't shut down Madison. So that will be a problem. Hopefully they can get that work done in about 2 weeks once they get going. So that's going to be coming up here in the next 2-3 weeks, most likely.
Get that out of the way before school's open.
Yeah. Correct. So we're going to try to get that knocked out quick. The other one that's under construction right now is 16th and Shawnee. We're working on 16th. It's over by the high school, and we will have that opened up before school starts. I know there may be some concern there.
I drove by it yesterday. Yeah, it'll be quite a feat.
The contractor is well aware that needs to be up and running before school starts, so we should be
another
should be
great
good
project. There's
good
a
project.
A lot of buses go through there, and that road is in poor condition.
For sure, no doubt. So other than that, as Keith had mentioned, we do have plans in the works to get Hillcrest Design between 20th Street and the Caney River. And that work that they did is not the final product. I know we actually had some concerns last Friday. Some people complained.
But that was it, huh?
You know, why are we putting asphalt on this? We're supposed to have a project. Whatever happened to that? The project still is in the works. Likely it's going to take us about 10 to 11 months to get that designed. So you're looking at construction probably next August sometime.
I believe it's not funded until...
it is currently funded. It's funded this fiscal year.
This was one of them that we...
This fiscal year.
So we'll get it designed.
We did bump that up this fiscal year, so we're going to get that designed and under construction in the next year, so... that's another big one.
That is a huge project.
Seconds.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, Micah, you got just a little bit left.
Okay.
Appreciate you guys coming in, and I think Tom is about ready to turn us back to your regularly scheduled programming. So.
And this has been City Talk on One-on-One right here with K1, and I want to thank you all for coming in. Tracy, Micah, Keith, and, of course, Mike, appreciate you coming in and letting us know what's going on and giving us a peek behind the curtain, as you say. Full transparency. Love it. We've got ABC News coming up, or CBS News coming up.
Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
It's 10 o'clock.
Real news, real reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Protesters are packing the streets of San Juan for a 10th day. Many have already blocked an expressway into the city, demanding Governor Ricardo